The following program is sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
Together, we're inspiring people to live for Jesus. If you're looking for more in life, to live with purpose and peace, to make a difference for your family and those in need around the world, Jesus is the answer. And our mission is to simply point you to Him. You're watching Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin.
If you have your Bibles, I'll invite you to open them with me this morning to the book of Genesis. I want to go to Genesis chapter 2 and then quickly into Genesis chapter 3. But I want to share today a message that I think will hit everybody in your life, but I am going to preach to our fathers today. But I believe what I'm going to share will also prepare future fathers, future husbands, future wives. Whatever situation that you're in, I believe God's word will speak to you and find you today. I want you to see in Genesis 2, let's go with verse 22. Then he took the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, and he made him into a woman, and he brought her to the man. Now this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And he called, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. So this was literally God finding the right mate, bringing her to a matchmaking place where they fell in love and they are married, because he called her his wife. So God married them. This is the first setting of family and marriage. And then the first verse of the next chapter, the next verse after the marriage. Now the serpent. And then I want to read one other quick verse, and it's my main key verse this morning, verse 9. Then the Lord called Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" It's pretty interesting that the only two human beings on this planet who could literally say, not spiritually speaking, but literally say, God was my father. We think of only Jesus being the Father's Son, but the truth is Adam could say, God was my father. I had no earthly father. I had no biological father but God. So there are only two, Adam and Jesus. And they both made decisions for all of us that would affect us in remarkable ways. And we see that we are all the sons of Adam. And in Genesis 3, and this is something I want you to get in your head for a moment, because this is really, I believe, an insight, a revelation, or whatever you want to call it. But in Genesis chapter 3, it's not just what happened in Genesis chapter 3, but it's what always happens. There is a pattern that is established that is unbreakable and is guaranteed concerning your family, concerning your future, concerning your marriage, concerning your children, concerning your family. And here it is. They get married. They have the blessing of God on their marriage. As far as a perfect marriage, this is as perfect of a marriage as possible on planet Earth. She was the perfect bride. He was the perfect husband. They had no problems, they had no troubles, they had no in-laws, they had no family, they had no one else but them to deal with. It was the perfect marriage, literally. And even the perfect marriage, as soon as they're married, the next verse, now the serpent. What a revelation. The serpent immediately shows up when Adam and Eve are married. There is a wedding, And then there is about to be warfare. There is a bride and a husband, and there is a battle. And now the serpent, that's an amazing insight, because you need to know, you must understand this principle. That is not just Genesis chapter 3. It is now. It is present. That there is a serpent, the devil. He is real. The first point is you have an enemy against your home, against your marriage, against your family. And I don't care how good of parents. I don't care how perfect your family. I don't care how amazing the heritage of faith. I don't care how great the grandparents, the parents. There will come a time when now, notice the timing, once they're married, he never bothered. He was around during creation. He was around when Adam was by himself. As soon as they get married, now the serpent was crafty and he makes his move. It's not just you and God. It's not just you and your wife or you and your husband. It's not just you and your kids. But it's also, you must understand that there is Satan and demons at work to destroy every family that wants to honor Jesus Christ. If you don't understand that there is a serpent, this is a revelation, just like it was in Genesis for the first family, there will always come a time when the serpent shows up and attacks your family. I don't care who you are. Nobody gets a pass on this one. And if you don't understand this concept, you will blame yourself when the enemy attacks. What did I've failed. We're terrible. We're not good parents. We're awful. This is bad. I'm sorry. I'm no good. I have not done what I should have done. We go against ourselves, or even worse, if it's not that, we'll look at God and say, why? Why did you allow this to happen to my family? Why, God, would you abuse me like this and let us go through the pain we're going through? Or you'll recognize that there is a serpent, there is an enemy, there is a devil and demon powers that want to destroy every family that has a purpose and a plan that God wants to initiate in their life. At some point, Satan will show up and he'll try to destroy those that you love. And he did it in a perfect environment then, and he can do it even now. He will come, but he doesn't have to win. When Satan shows up, who does he speak to? Who does he show? Now, God made Adam first. God made Adam first. He was the head of that home. He was there first. She came from him. She was taken from a rib and made by God and given life by God, but he was first. But notice how it worked then and it still works now. The enemy does not recognize divine order in a home. The head is the dad. The head is the husband. The head is the father. Satan did not come to Adam. The snake showed up and he was talking to Eve. It's not just happening in Genesis 3. It's always happening. And she listened to him when he said, "Has God said? Has God said?" She began to question the legitimacy of God's word. Did he mean it? Why can't we? Why can't you take the fruit? Why can't you eat of the forbidden? What's wrong with listening to the music? What's wrong with going there? What's wrong with living with my boyfriend before I get married? What's wrong with that? This is how the enemy, and we need some men now. We need some men. We need some men who take a stand in their homes and say, no, 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 because this is the amazing thing. It's happening. The enemy bypasses Adam, goes to his wife, gets an inroad on someone that Adam loved, and begins to whisper her The Bible's a lie. God's not telling you the truth. This, you can't base your life on the Word of God. This is not good. And where is Adam? Where is Adam? He was either there and he was silent, or he was not there. He was distracted. He was just uninvolved. He had just taken a back seat. But the truth is, the Bible said, and she took his fruit from the forbidden tree and ate, and she gave. So this is what I'd never seen. I don't know how I missed this, but when I read this story again this week, and she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. So he was there, but he was silent. He was there, but he did not speak up. He did not protect his family. He did not stand there in the place that he was called to do. So there's two sins that take place. There's the sin of commission. The sin of commission is when you do what you know you're not supposed to do. She took the fruit and she knew she was not supposed to do it. But he committed, Adam, the sin of omission, which is he did not do what he should have done. And this is the challenge now. This is the challenge, that men be the spiritual voice that speaks up in our homes. This is God's absolute, absolute requirement for fathers. If you're going to honor the Lord and God honor your family, is you must speak up and speak the truth in love and say with compassion and say with love, the Word of God is right, and we stand on the Word of God. If we're not praying, if we're not bringing our kids to church, if we're just doing the sin of omission, it's just as bad as doing something that you know you shouldn't be doing. And so Adam's sin is saying and doing nothing. He's checked out. He goes to work, he comes home, this is my version, he watches TV. I provide for my family, I bring home the bacon, I take care of them, but the rest of the mess, it's not my problem. He's not engaged, he's not present, he's not leading. Then the eyes of them both were opened after they ate it, and they were ashamed. Notice, it happened then, and it happens now. What happened then? God puts a couple together, and when he puts them together, immediately they become a target for the snake, and the snake begins to mess with divine order, and the man says nothing. He's silent, and he's disconnected in the way spiritually that he should be, and even emotionally that he should be. And the Bible said they hid themselves from God. And that's exactly what happened then, and it's what happens now when men begin to lose their walk with God. Because in the cool of the day, God came down and said, Adam, where are you? You used to walk with me. We used to walk every day hand in hand, and we would talk to one another, and we would spend this special time. It's a beautiful thing of showing you a man who was listening to God and God was listening to him. Prayer is you talking to God. Bible reading is God talking to you. And when you read the Bible and you pray on a regular basis, you're walking with God. If you don't talk and walk with God and read God and he talks to you and pray and you talk to God, you are not walking with God like you're supposed to. And that's why God is asking men today in our generation, where are you? Father, when the snake is talking to your bride, where are you? When the serpent is targeting your children, where is your voice? Where are you? Where are your prayers? Where is your covering? Where are you? Are you? Is it just so much pressure that the enemy wants you to just disconnect and just go into your shell? And God is saying, where are you, Adam? Where are you? It's time for men to come out of the hiding It's time for men to say, God, I want to be that man that you don't ever have to ask, where are you? Where are you spiritually? Where are you in prayer and devotion of my word? Where are you for your children when the enemy's coming after your children? Listen to this preacher. It's amazing. Adam is there and he's not, the question can be asked, where are you when the serpent's talking to his wife? Why are you not speaking up? Where are you? And then that's what for his wife, he's not there. But then you move and God asks him, where are you? We don't have a relationship. I don't hear from you all week long. Adam, I'm searching for you and you're hiding from me. You're hiding from church attendance. You're hiding from emails and texts from your Christian buddies, because when you fall into sin as it was then, you start withdrawing from Christian influences and withdrawing from people who hold you accountable, withdrawing from church services and sermons like this, because this is the pattern then and that's exactly the pattern now. And if you know that you're hiding, and you may be hiding in work, you may be hiding in sports, you may be hiding in entertainment, you may be hiding in a hobby, you may be hiding, I don't, working on this, playing golf, all of those things are fine, but God is crying out and saying, it can't come before me. Where are you? And then Cain and Abel, his two boys, in Genesis chapter 4, they get off and they get angry at one another, and Adam is nowhere to be found. And this goes on for a whole chapter, Adam, Cain and Abel having disagreements, and then Cain slays his brother, and Adam is, where are you, Adam? When family crisis comes, where are you? Where are you hiding? Where are you with your children? Where are you with your marriage? Are you leading? Are you present? And it's funny because this is what happened then. Am I going to have to wear it out? Say it's going to happen now. This is exactly how it goes. And you know what? When God said, where are you? He came out of the bushes and he said, God, I need to talk to you. We have a problem. And I want to tell you what the problem is. And God said, where are you? Why are you hiding? And he said, that woman you gave me. That's how it was then. And that's the go-to for all us men. I don't like this sermon. But the go-to for all of us is, God, that woman you gave to me. And I could almost hear Adam say, she's the wrong one. I married the wrong one. And God said, she's the only one for you. There's nobody to choose from. It's just you and her. She's the right one. Come on, say that out loud. She's the right one. Because that's what the enemy did then. And he'll say now, you married the wrong one. Well, how do you know it's the right one? If you're married to her, she's the right one. I want you to see Adam. Adam literally says, the woman you gave me. This is passive aggressive to God. The woman you gave me. In other words, he was saying, okay, God, when it was just me and you, we didn't have any problems. When it was just me and you, we were good. It was me. And you said, when you created me, it is good. I heard you say that. And then It was me and you walking in the cool of the day, and we didn't have any trouble. She shows up, and look at the trouble. The woman you gave me is the problem. There is a problem with the prototype. There is a bug in the prototype. And God, I'm going to be praying for you, but I need you to take her back, and I need you to fix her, and it's going to take a lot of prayer. I'm praying for you, God, and I'm praying for you, woman, because y'all got to work out this bad situation. She's the problem. That's what he said then, and that's what we say now. And the serpent gets the inroad. I mean, he's standing there saying, I feel like a victim. I'm such a good man. I feel like a victim. You made her and she's defective. Fix her. Fix her. Fix her. She is crazy. Fix her. Satan is trying to recruit men just like he did in heaven. Now that he's been cast out with a third of the angels, he's trying to recruit men into his army. Satan now wants to recruit us to be his demonic angels. And the storyline of the Bible is a wedding, then war. Satan didn't show up until after Adam and Eve were married. So grow up and realize it's a struggle, but there's nothing greater than to find a woman and give your life to it. Find a man and give your life to him. Find and raise those children, and yeah, there'll be challenges, and you'll never know what warfare is until you have a family, but they're worth fighting for, and there is no greater joy, there is no greater life than the family life and being married to one person for life and raising those children and holding those grandchildren and saying, we've been through the fire, but the fourth man kept showing up, and we didn't give up, and God brought us up, and God brought us out, and it's all right. We've got a legacy, not a perfection, but a faith that overcomes the world. Somebody give him a praise if you believe it. These single guys, they're funny. They say silly things. They say things like, I'm really struggling with the flesh, and I can't wait to get married. And the struggles in my life, because I'm struggling with depression and meaningless and with the flesh, all of it. And I know when I get married, the struggle will be over. We're just gonna see, this is what they thought in the garden, and that's how it is now, because they thought they were just gonna eat fruit and run around naked and chase each other in the woods. That's not how it is. I want you to listen to this. In our culture, the question is this now. We've veered so far from the scriptures. Ephesians 5 said that the head of the church is Christ, and the husband is the head of the wife. Christ is the head of the man, and the man is the head of the wife. But we have veered so far that the question in our culture today is, who will be the head of the home? Will the husband be the head of the home, or the wife be the head of the home? But the question of the Bible in Genesis 3 is, who will be the head of the home? Will the husband be the head of the home, or will the snake be the head of the home? Because if you don't come in divine order, that does not mean she is inferior. That does not mean that she is less than. That means you are firstly accountable for everything from finances to trouble with the children to whatever is going on, from the housing to insurance to million other things and raising those kids, God, when he came to the garden, he did not say, Eve, where are you? You're the one that started all this. No, she was the one who did it, but God said, I'm not looking for her. I'm looking for you, because it's not your fault, but it's your responsibility to deal with it. This is the thing we've got to get and understand as men. Not everything is our fault. We've tried our best, some of us, to model to our children and to our wife and to our families that, you know, the best that we can, that we love God and to live this way, and tried to teach them. And sometimes they do whatever they're going to do, just like I did when I came up under my great parents. I ended up ultimately doing what I wanted to do. It's not their fault. And sometimes it's not our fault. But here's the point I want you to get. It's always your responsibility. And that's why God called Adam, even though he didn't initiate the curse and the disaster and the dysfunction that came on that family. He was responsible. God trusted that family to him. It was his seed. Therefore, he still had to engage. He had the responsibility to be there spiritually. He had the responsibility to be there financially, to feel the burden. Your wife may make more than you, all of that, but it should be your overall responsibility and weightiness of that. Firstly, accountable for everything in that home. The burden is on me. This is what a man is in God's eyes. This is the role a father takes in God's eyes. This is how you'll be judged when you stand. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and he will look at you as a father and a man. And I'm not preaching down to you. I'm preaching to myself. I'm with you. I'm a man just like you're a man. And one of these days we're going to realize, because a man walks up and can preach the Bible does not mean that he is something that is unearthly. He is as earthly, and in many cases targeted by the enemy in ways you cannot even imagine. And the point I'm trying to make is, we have too many weak men. We need to be men. We need to wake up the mighty men who will stand up when the serpent is talking to the wife, when the enemy is messing with the children, when all hell is breaking loose. It may not be your fault, but it is your responsibility to handle it all. And if you'll stand up, God will stand up with you. And God will say, now I got you praying again. Now you're walking in the cool of the day. I know where you are, but I finally located where you are. Now we can fix it. Now divine authority has come. And the Bible says, husbands, love your wife. Ephesians 5, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And wives, honor and submit to your husbands. And when you do that and you get that divine order, the serpent's power, he will form the weapon, but ultimately it will not prosper. I tell you, our children and our children's children are blessed for 1,000 generations, the book of Deuteronomy decrees, if we stand in the promises of God. Clap your hands and say amen. Hallelujah. Will the man lead the family, or will the serpent, the devil, lead the family? That's the only question. And if you don't lead, the serpent will. And you can use your energy to make excuses, or you can use your energy to make plans. Adam didn't have a plan. All he had was excuses. And God said, I hold you responsible. You are the head of your home. A covenant is how God describes the family. A covenant is different. A covenant, the word hasid means loyalty, reliability, never breaking, always loving. And if a business struggles, the CEO, ultimately, he is firstly responsible. It may be some of the employees messing up, but ultimately, if something goes wrong with this church, ultimately, it's on me. That's heavy. And on a sports team, if a team is failing, ultimately, everything comes on the coach, not even the players. It may be their fault, but it's his responsibility. And in a military operation, ultimately, if it falls to pieces, it falls back on the highest ranked person in that division. And that would be in the home, the father, the husband, the dad. This is why you've got to learn how to pray for yourself. I appreciate you coming to church. I love you. I'm telling you, I feel the weight of this message because I understand that families will make it or not make it based on what I'm preaching right now. If men stand up, and if you got a man who's trying, my God, thank God for him and get behind him and pray for him. And do you pray for him? Pray for him. If he's trying, you're really, really, really blessed. Because it's not an easy thing. So when Adam and Eve sin, God shows up and he holds him responsible. Let me get this out. In your families, there will be things that are not your fault, but it's your responsibility. And when men don't take responsibility, listen carefully, then we need more police officers. And when men don't take responsibility, then we have to build more prisons. And when men don't take responsibility and be a father to their kids, we need more jail cells. And we're in a cultural crisis in this nation because fathers, the question is being cried out, fathers, where are you? And you may be there, but if you're not really engaged, I hope Adam wasn't off looking at pornography. I hope Adam wasn't off flirting with someone. I hope Adam was not involved. I don't know where he was, but I pray to God that God doesn't ever have to say over us, where are you for your wife? Where are you? Where are you, Adam, for your children? Where are you in your relationship with me? I don't see you in the prayer place. Ever. You don't preach or you don't talk to me. You don't read and listen to me. I want to say it like I want to say it. When the Lord found me, I was a sinner. It wasn't his fault. It was my fault. I did it. I was guilty. But my father took responsibility. And he said, I'll come down to earth and I'll carry a cross. And it's your fault, but it's my responsibility to redeem you and forgive you and love you and raise you. And after the fall, believe in you and encourage you after you've been through your own fall. It's not my fault you fail. I did my best to tell you in the law what to do and not to do. But since you did fall, I don't quit on you. I have covenant love for you, not a contract, a covenant. And covenant, a contract is one person with another person, and they think that's what a marriage is. That's a contract. As long as you do, I do. I do my part, you do your part. Covenant says it's not two people, it's with three people. It's with husband, it's with wife, it's with God. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. Therefore, I love you. And the more I love God, the more I love you. The more I serve God, the more I serve you. Can I preach just another minute? Let me end with this. There are three kinds of men. Men who win at work and lose at home. Because they don't understand contract. They apply contract to wife and kids, and we've seen people do amazing things at work but lose at home. You can't run your family like you're running a company. Just come home and say to your wife one time, if you've got a big business, just look at her. I can't imagine saying this to Charisse. If you were working for me, I would fire you. I'll tell you what you just did. You just came up with childproof birthing in your family for the rest of your life. You have a contraceptive that you have just had that will guarantee you'll never have another child if you leave that thing like you just left it. You can't come home from work and tell your children, get in line. If I were you, I'd fire you if you were working for me in my business. No, a covenant says, I love you no matter what. Everything's not my fault, but I will be the man in this situation. And I may not have the answers, and I may not know what to do, and I may not, but I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to get help. I'm going to reach out. I'm going to talk to get counsel. I'm going to go to pastors, and I'm going to whatever I have to do. And I'm not telling you, I've had to walk through this stuff. When the serpent showed up to attack my family over and over again, and it was enough to make you just say, I quit. I can't take it anymore. But I'm so glad as a father and a dad, I wasn't perfect, still am not, nowhere near perfect. But I'm so glad I didn't quit. And I want to end with this, but I got two sweet texts this morning, and some of my kids are here. I think about my dad today. Billy Franklin was an amazing mom. You're an amazing mother. I love you and honor you. You're incredible. It means so much to me. It means so much to me. And I miss my dad today, Billy Franklin. He was the greatest dad to me. He was a pastor and the church consumed his life, but he always made me feel special. And I know I speak for Jill and Jennifer and Richie and Doyle. And I remember things about him, that he was powerful. He was a strong man. When he said something and he had that tone of voice, buddy, you better get your act in order or you about to get a whipping like you couldn't believe. I mean, you'd be crying like that baby's crying beyond anything you could ever imagine. Thank God. Give the baby a hand. I love babies. Amen. They used to get me off my game. That sounds like music now. Got grandbabies. The Lord spoke to me when I read these texts that came early this morning from two great, great, great preachers, two of the greatest. They're the next wave. We're seeing the old wave. We're seeing a lot of correction in the body of Christ going on. And it's like God saying, there's that wave is kind of flushing out. And I'm getting ready for a new wave of ministries. And I know that I'm in the first wave. But I tell you, one of the greatest joys that I have is I've invested in a few in the next generation, and I'm not their biological fathers, but I am their spiritual fathers. And I got two of the sweetest, and I know they didn't coordinate this, but Marcus Meekum, who pastors an amazing church called Seven Hills in Kentucky, and he was youth pastor here, and that's where I first met him, and we just hit it off. You know, and a spiritual son is not somebody that, it's not something you can force. It's that connection is divine, it's supernatural. And it's powerful. And I just began to pour into him many years. I saw it. He's got it. He sent me this little text this morning. This is a challenge to all of you dads, not just to be fathers to your biological sons and daughters, but to your spiritual. There are young men out there who are fatherless. And it'll mean everything if you're a father to them. Marcus said, Happy Father's Day, Pastor. Thank you for being the closest thing to a dad I've ever had. He never had his dad active. can't express what you mean or how honored I am to be one of your spiritual sons. I love you. I love this. Hope your day is filled with grandbabies. And then I got another one from Pastor Javon Ruff this morning. He said, I want to take this special day to express how much I love and appreciate you. God has truly used you in a remarkable way to shape my life, guiding me with wisdom, love, and unwavering faith. Your mentorship has been a divine blessing, and I am deeply grateful for your presence in my life. As one who grew up not having a real consistent father in my life, I long to have examples and models that I could learn and gain wisdom from. You have definitely been a true source for that. And not only for me, but for many others. Thank you for helping me. I love this part. Thank you for helping me be a better husband to Shanna and a better father for Sydney and Jacob. Your spiritual son, Javon Ray. That's what it's all about. Y'all heard that man get up here and preach last week under that anointing. Satan said he'll be a statistic. Satan said he'll grow up and he won't have a father in his life and he'll never reach the potential that I have for him. But God said, I'm going to raise up some Adams who it's never going to be said of them, where are you? For your family, for your wife, for your God. I want you to stand all over this building at every campus, no one moving. Please, 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 please. I'm asking you. I want every father under the sound of my voice at every campus to get out of your seat and to come forward and to stand down here if you want to be the man God has called you to be. And this is a powerful thing. They're coming forward at every campus, every father. Every father, every father. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. Don't you sing that verse? Right now, sing it. Go.
The enemy can't take my family, 'cause this home belongs to the Lord. And I'm not afraid to remind him that he has no claim in this war. I plead the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus. It's more than enough.
I want you to sing that verse again from the beginning. Gentlemen, throw your hands up and say, Lord, make me into the man that you want me to be. You need to stand up. You need to speak up. You need to feel the weight and know that you are firstly accountable.
He has no claim in this
it may
war.
Not be your fault, but it's your responsibility to find the answers. Find the help. Find it first in prayer.
Jesus.
Pray for your family, gentlemen. God knows us. He knows us. He loves our family. He can give us a new spirit. He can heal us. He can break down. Blood over our families, over that son, that daughter, that stand here together, needful men, needing men, feeling in so many areas we fall short. God wants you to hear from me, a spiritual leader in your life, that He's well pleased with you. You are my beloved sons, in whom I am well pleased. You're in God's house this morning. You're standing in an aisle because you are a good man that loves your family. And you want to be there for your children. Be there for your wife. And maybe the enemy has decimated your family and divorce has done its thing. But you can still be a great father. You can still do it. Reach out. Maybe they won't talk to you. Maybe it's your own actions and you know it. But I love the fact that God says, it's not my fault, but I feel the responsibility to help you be restored back to your kids. And that's why I shed my blood. It's enough. It's enough. I know family's complicated, but His blood is enough. Our weapons are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of serpents and demons and devil's strongholds. So, gentlemen, I love you today, and I honor you. I feel strength from you when I see hundreds and hundreds. And I close with this, but I looked it up, and there's about 130,000 people, wives, husbands, kids, grandkids, in the Hall County area right here where this main campus is. This would be different, of course, for all the other campuses. About 130,000. And the thought hit me on an average Sunday just at this campus, not the other campuses, and this is including the children and the babies and the preschool stuff downstairs. We would minister to in person about 8,000 people who live basically in this area. That's almost a tithe of the whole entire community, just right here in this service and in the 9 o'clock service. So the Lord spoke to me and said, when you look out and you preach, you're preaching to the heads of a tithe of the whole of the families of the whole community that I planted you in. If this nation is going to be saved, all due respect, Donald Trump cannot save this mess, this nation. You know me, you know I'm big on what I believe. But I'm gonna tell you what, if you're looking to that man or Biden or anybody else to save this nation, you are crazy. The only thing that will save this nation is when we see fathers right here, right now, by the thousands saying, I want Jesus to be the head of my home. I need Him. Our nation needs Him. A generation needs spiritual. A generation needs spiritual fathers. You're going to have to find two or three young men. That's how desperate we are now. Do you know, Tracy told me that he had the article, and it said one out of four children will not celebrate Father's Day this weekend. They don't want to even think about the pain their father has caused. But that's okay. We're gonna be that bridge. And I want you to get open to this. It may be your son's buddy who doesn't have a father. I don't know, but it's just like God connected me to Javon and God connected me to Marcus. And there are many others that the Lord has done that. And I spend extra time with them. I call them, I check up on them. I can't do that for everybody, but they do that with me. And it's different. It's just different. And we don't have to work at it. There's some men out there that are orphaned hearts and they need spiritual fathers. And God's saying, grow up now spiritually. Lead your own family and find some men. I'll mend your heart to them. Find some other men and teach them how to be a man. Teach them how to fix. Teach them how to stand there. Teach them how to feel the weight of the finances and everything else about the children, the health and everything. Because that's what a father does. That's what a man does. Amen? Now raise your hand and receive this blessing. Just pray this prayer and say, Jesus, be Lord of my life. Be Lord of my family. I love you. I praise you. Help me to always walk in forgiveness. Help me to not have a grudge or hate anybody. And help me to love. And use me to be an influence to heal other people's brokenness. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. Mystery resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.